The Kappa Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and Jay Hood. Follow Cap Jay Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
In motion. Prescott keeps it. He's got a blocker. He's got a touchdown. What a drive to start the day from Dak in Dallas. Bolstered their pass rush. They're 6-0. Playing Pittsburgh later today. Off the fake. Prescott. Look at end zone for Lamb. He's got him. Back-to-back outstanding Dallas drives to open the day. This is the play that got Fields a touchdown last week. He does it again today in Dallas. And the Bears are on the board. Designed run, left side, good block by Jones, touchdown Fields on the ground.
Here we go.
Prescott on third and one will just run it up the gut and break free. Eddie Jackson, his fellow number four, takes him out inside the red zone.
Here we go.
Right back to Pollard. A really good cut. And a touchdown for Pollard. It is his stage today. They fake it to Davis. He blocks. Prescott throws. And Jake Ferguson has his second NFL touchdown. Fields protected. Throws to Harry. And he's in for the touchdown. N'Keal Harry back in the scoring book. His first Bears score. Trying to get into Brett Maher's field goal range. Only one timeout. And an interception. He was looking for CeeDee Lamb. And Eddie Jackson comes up with a pick. Oh, what a turnaround with 28 seconds remaining in the half. Herbert cuts it the other way. Straight up the gut. And into the end zone for a touchdown.
Well, I tell you, this Chicago offensive line just moved everybody to the left. And a great cut by Khalil Herbert on that play.
They'll run it with Tony Pollard. And Tony Pollard's second effort has a touchdown. His second of the day.
Great response by the Dallas offense and a great job by guard center guard in the interior of that offensive line. They just move everything.
Four-man rush. Fields. Stepping up. Sidearm sling. He's got a connection. There goes Montgomery, who wants the football. And the Cowboys have it. It's Parsons on top of it. Micah Parsons on the move. And Micah Parsons is in. Fake to Herbert. Fields to the end zone. He's got Cole Kmet. And has he finally done it? Cole Kmet with his first touchdown since December of 2020. First down puts a lot of pressure on the Bears. There's Pollard. And sure enough, a first down and more. Welcome to the big show, Tony Pollard. His third touchdown of the day.
Well, it didn't go as we hoped down in Dallas. But I'm going to choose to look at some of the positives this morning. Good morning. Welcome in. Cap Jay Hood, Dion Miller. So great to have you here. In for Hoodie, who's in the Indiana Dunes for a few days on vacation.
Good morning. I am thrilled to be here. I'm really excited.
Got your Bulls hat on.
I do.
Got your Nikes. You're ready to go.
I'm ready to go. It's Monday. It's a Bears Monday. You know what's amazing is how different you feel after a loss with this coaching staff than you did with the last one.
Correct.
Last couple of years, every time the Bears would lose, what would we hear? We're going to figure out the whys and we're going to, you know, all that crap.
Right.
Well,
and
yesterday,
then Owen's line. Look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror.
You'll see the
right,
lies.
Right. Well, Eberflus says yesterday after the game, we're going to put on the tape and we'll see exactly why we didn't win this game. I mean, they know. They know. Don't look at us like we're not. They're watching the same game we are. We're not idiots.
Correct.
And it just feels better and refreshing to lose in that way. Is that a right way to say that?
Yes, because A, I believe that we have found our quarterback going forward if we can keep him from getting killed.
Right. I mean, obviously the goal is to not let him take that many hits.
Even he talked, my hip, my...
Oh, yeah. He's got to be in pain. He got leveled on that two-point conversion.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, yes.
But as Coach Wonstead said to me yesterday, tell me a year ago we wouldn't have dropped back and thrown the ball 50 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said they stuck with the run game.
Yeah.
They stayed loyal to the run game. And they're running the heck out of the football.
Right.
They are.
240 rushing yards. I mean, losing, giving up 50 points is not exactly ideal.
Third time this year. Third time. Is it third week in a row? Third week in a row we've run for 200 or more.
Yes.
Yes.
Correct. And that hasn't happened since the 60s.
And I think the fourth time this season hasn't happened since the 60s.
That's
insane. So there are people going, it's too old school. We got to be able to throw the ball. Yes, but right now you can't drop this kid back because you can't protect him.
Okay, know who you are. Stay in your lane. That's what they're doing. And that's fine.
Know your core competency. No,
yeah. What is your jam? Running is their jam.
Running is their jam.
Running is their jam, which
that's
is fine.
It.
We knew, though, the defense that got significantly less experienced with the loss of Robert Quinn. You say what you want about what he did or didn't do on the stat sheet, but that was a significant loss for them.
Huge in the room, A.
Yes.
B, he would occupy two blockers.
Correct. And so when that's gone, you saw how it just is disturbing how easily the Cowboys were able to score. I mean, little resistance.
They did.
Little resistance.
When they went down the field, the first drive, the handoff, Tony Pollard, I'm like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. And then they went the second time, five wide, touchdown CeeDee Lamb, like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Then when we got it to 28-23, 28-23.
Yeah, five-point game.
It's a five-point game. Can you get a turnover? And all of a sudden, Tony Pollard, touchdown. Micah Parsons, touchdown. Game over.
Game over. That whole unfortunate sequence of events when David Montgomery fumbled and then nobody touched Micah Parsons, and that was really the swing in the whole game.
Yeah, Justin looked like Michael Jordan in the dunk contest.
Now, but
jumping
I don't,
over the
but
top.
I also don't hate it because had he like taken a hard hit that way, like voluntarily
just
done
him,
that,
touch him down.
I know. All you have to do is touch him.
Right. It's not college. In college, once you go down, you could literally be running by yourself down the field, stumble. If you hit the ground, you're down, even if you're not touched.
Right.
Which I hate that rule anyway. But
accountability. Eberflus said it. Look, this is big boy football. All you got to do is touch him. Like,
Correct.
That's an NFL move. We should have known that.
Correct.
And Justin owned it, too. It's just there's a different vibe around this team. There is. They know who they are. This is who they are. They were going to lose this game. I'm not mad about the loss. I wish it looked prettier when you look at it, but it is a loss. We all assumed they would.
The defense was awful.
Right. But Justin had a career day. A career day in the number of touchdowns he scored. A career day in his passer rating and in his completion percentage.
Correct.
That's progress. That's major progress. He had a higher quarterback rating than Dak. I'll take that.
Yes. And I believe he is the long-term guy. I truly believe that if they surround this kid with talent, he'll be the quarterback, health, God willing. He'll be here 10 years.
Well, not if he keeps getting beat up like he is right now. But you're right. That is true. And yesterday, some of those passes that he threw, the one to Velus, and then the other one to Pettis. Catch the football, but have a number one receiver.
We don't have a two.
No, we don't have a two.
Darnell Mooney's a really good player. He's a three on a really good. Like, you stick Darnell Mooney on some of these teams that are loaded at wide receiver. Take the Bucs, and the Bucs aren't even a great team this year.
They're not.
Mike Evans? He's not Mike Evans. Chris Godwin? He's not Chris Godwin. They have a lot of receivers. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just go around the league to the really good teams. Look who's coming in here this week. Jaylen Waddle is a two to Tyreek Hill, who's a one.
Yeah.
Look at the Eagles.
They're two ones, but yes.
Yeah. A.J. Brown?
Yeah.
Devontae Smith, They're loaded.
Yeah, for sure.
And they have a quarterback that I think our guy plays like in Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, it's a Bears Monday, and we're talking football all day with you. We want your thoughts. That's what we do day after a Bear game. Light up the phones. 312-332-3776. Courtney Cronin was covering the game. She will be with us at 8:35, brought to you by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. At 9 o'clock, our guy, Alex Brown, will give us his thoughts on one of his favorite holidays. He loves Halloween. I don't enjoy it
at all.
Me either.
I don't like dressing up. I don't like when other people dress up.
Right.
I know I sound like a Scrooge. It's not my thing. I don't like
it. It's not my thing.
It's just not my thing. I don't enjoy dressing up.
I don't get it.
Just be yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand my tiny children who are so excited about trick-or-treating. I mean, this day is such a wash at school. Right? All they want to do is get to the party.
Right.
And then go trick-or-treating.
And go eat candy.
The worst day to get your kids up to go to school, November 1st. I mean, it's the absolute worst. Because they are all hopped up on candy. It's a wild scene.
Yeah, I bet it is.
But it's so fun. Our neighborhood comes to life on Halloween. I mean, to life. People walking around with wagons full of booze and everybody's out and it's so much fun. That part I enjoy because I enjoy fellowship with other people. Like, I love that. So that part is fun to me. And I love that I live in a neighborhood where my teenager can just take off and I know that he's safe and he's with his friends and having a blast. And like, I have these images of them growing up of like dozens of kids crossing the street in their Halloween costumes. It's like Mayberry. It's, you know, it's awesome. Right. I love that about Halloween. But I can, you know, you can take the candy and I will never wear a costume. I just don't like it.
Yeah, me either. Not into it.
Not necessary. Not necessary.
312-332-3776 is the phone number. And then don't forget tomorrow, for whatever reason, Danny tells me, like, I feel like I'm a person who enjoys people.
Yeah, you do.
I love being out and about. And he's like, you're in the studio too much.
He said that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, what do you mean?
Right.
So Courtney and I, because Hoodie's still in the Indiana Dunes. I think he actually comes back from the Indiana Dunes tomorrow afternoon. He won't be there. So Courtney and I are at Espresso in Bannockburn, my favorite breakfast place.
Is it really?
That's amazing. Amazing.
Really? Okay. I love breakfast. Brunch, yeah.
Breakfast is my favorite meal. So we are going to do the show from there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
So thank you, Danny.
Like we are in a fishbowl here, though. So
7 minutes
like we do
from my house.
Oh, that's even better.
It's the greatest.
That's awesome.
The best.
Okay, that'll be fun.
The best.
So Bears all day today. Then you're out on remote tomorrow.
Yeah.
And in the afternoon. Like, everybody's out and about.
Yeah, we're out and about. So
it's a big day.
Yeah, it is. It is a big day. The entire station tomorrow. A live broadcast from Dave and Buster's in Vernon Hills tomorrow from 12 until 7. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I'm off TV tomorrow, so I am going to play games and hang out at Dave and Buster's and have
That's
a good
awesome.
Time.
That sounds great.
A few cocktails.
Perfect. Yeah, why not?
Uber.
So. You're close to home.
Yes.
See, that's the blessing.
All right, 312-332-3776. Dion's in for Hoodie. Phone lines are here for you. That's what we do on a Bears Monday. We talk football all day with you. Again, any breaking news, we'll have it for you. One team hasn't hired a manager yet. That's the White Sox. Mm-hmm. We want your thoughts. 312-332-3776. TSPN.
That's why I say
Shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why.
No Shot is brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Bet the Breeders' Cup on November 4 and 5. I'll be locked in both days on all of that at a newly remodeled Club Hawthorne. Betting bar, sports betting, do it at Points Bet. We say good morning to Snorling.
Hi. Good morning. How are we, Dion?
Hey, Shay.
Wonderful to see you on a Bears Monday.
It's always great to see you.
Cap, how we doing? How was the weekend?
It was awesome. It was great. Went up to Wisconsin for a couple days, cranked it up, watched Bears yesterday, watched Buffalo Green Bay last night, watched Bulls Friday, Saturday, like locked in. And then I saw my Michigan Wolverines for the day. They're only mine for that day. Failed to cover by a point.
I saw my Spartans cover. It was the only positive experience that came out of that.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about your Spartans. I'm not happy with Michigan.
Dirty ass program.
See, I don't like Michigan, and I don't
like.
Yeah,
I just needed Michigan to cover.
Yeah, I can't ever cheer for Michigan. But now I'm mad at Michigan State. I'm usually not mad at the Spartans, but now I am.
Snorling.
All right, anyway, go ahead.
They handled it right. That's all we can say about
it. No, they didn't.
In the immediate aftermath, they did the right thing. They suspended all the players who got in the fight in the tunnel, and they got out in front of it, made no excuses. That's all you can ask. You just handle these things right after the fact, and they did. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's not problematic that it happened, but regardless, let's get to shot or no shot. Eddie Jackson was probably the only Bears defender that showed a consistent effort yesterday with 11 tackles and an interception before the half that helped the Bears get back into the game. And after the game, Jackson said, people probably just listening to the words, just in one ear and out the other. We want to win, want to be a good team, want to prove people wrong. We got to come out here and play our game. Can't have these ups and downs. Can't get complacent. He's talking about other players on the defense there. Shot or no shot? The Bears' defensive lapses are more an issue of effort than they are talent.
No shot.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say that at the same time. I say no shot because I feel like this team has built itself this season on effort, intensity, hustle, the hits principle.
Right.
I don't think it was effort.
They've had moments where the hits principle didn't, work, like Justin not touching the
guy
down.
They had a lot of loafs yesterday.
A lot.
That's not going to be a fun film session for anybody involved.
Correct.
Especially defensively.
But lack of effort? No.
I don't think it's lack of effort.
They don't have any talent.
We know.
I've been telling you that for a long time.
Is the quote not a little telling if Eddie Jackson's saying people are just listening in one ear, out the other? Is that not a little telling about what he sees going on in the locker room? And he's been the only defender that's been consistently good.
Yeah, but I don't think he's saying that they're not trying. I think the game just got too fast for them because they're not that good. You just feel out of sorts. Slow it down.
Yeah.
Shay.
All right. I wasn't sure if Deion had a thought to add there. The Bears defense was non-competitive yesterday. We just talked about that. They gave up 9 conversions on 11 third down attempts. Also on third down, the Bears gave up 3 touchdowns and 157 yards. They were gashed on the ground all game for 3 touchdowns from Tony Pollard. And Dak Prescott operated free of pressure. He had just 1 sack. He was barely touched. My question, shot or no shot? The loss of Robert Quinn was more impactful than we expected.
That shot. I believe that wholeheartedly. I think just emotionally more than anything. But there were a couple of times that the Cowboys went that direction because they knew he wasn't there, right? Like they knew they could take advantage of that.
I'm going to say no shot because as Alex Brown will give us at 9 o'clock when I asked him and Lance Briggs, Roquan was crying and it was all this stuff. And they both looked at me and went, okay, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. They were
really
yes.
Why?
And because they said it's professional football. You're going to see a million guys get cut, traded, injured, released, whatever. Do your job. And then Alex said he told a great story. There's this room at the old Hallis Hall in the basement, and that's where all the rookies went. You could be a first round pick. You could be an undrafted rookie. He said, I started down there, and it was whatever number. There were like 40 guys. He said, every day, it's 39.
Right,
it's 36.
Right.
It's 27. And I'm looking, and I'm like, he said, he came upstairs, and Olin Krutz said to him, what are you all messed up about? He goes, dude, there's like 14 of us left here. And he said, yeah. He goes, my guy just got cut. And he said, Olin looked at him and goes, you got a job to do. Would you rather it be you? No, he said, then shut up and get on the field and play football. You're a professional. He's like, never again. You're exactly right. It's the pros. Let's play. So, yeah, no, I don't buy into the Robert Quinn effect. Good player, but in terms of emotionally, stop. These guys make millions of dollars.
So here's what I'm going to say. There is no one in that locker room who talks to players the way that you just described Olin speaking. There's no one who does that. They have no vet. They lost their oldest veteran. There's no one there who does that. They are a young team. They are babies, which is why they were crying. Maybe. I'm just kidding. Maybe.
All right, Shay.
All right, the troubles continued for Velus Jones. He's been relieved of his punt returning duties after he caught a case of the muffs. And yesterday, he dropped a perfect deep ball from Fields on one of the few routes he's been allowed to run all season. So my question, shot or no shot, Velus Jones won't make it to next season with the Bears.
Oh, boy. I mean, we're seven games in, and now we're already writing a third-round pick off.
You're 24 years old.
He's 25.
Your top offensive draft pick. Your first offensive draft pick. And we're already writing him off? No shot.
Yeah, no shot.
They give him more time than that. And he did field a kickoff or a punt return yesterday, didn't he? He did.
Kick, not a punt.
Kick. I mean, they're trying to rebuild his confidence.
Correct.
But he's got to catch that ball.
Correct.
I just watched that play again. He's got to catch that ball.
It's right there.
It's right there.
So,
right there.
Yeah.
He's throwing perfectly, but no shot he's gone after 1 year.
Correct. Take that.
Not for a new GM who believes in him. Right.
Yeah, take that, Shay.
All right, Darnell Mooney, boy, spoke on Justin Fields' performance yesterday. He had this to say. Take a listen.
Yeah, he's got to stop taking hits. Yeah. I mean, I love him. I mean, he's a tough guy, but I don't need him to be a tough guy anymore. Like, just, you know, get out of bounds or something. No, we're going to need him.
So my question, shot or no shot, we were all impressed with Justin Fields yesterday, but shot or no shot, he needs to stop taking these hits at the end of rushes.
Shot, he needs to stop taking those hits. He's got to. His body will only allow him to go so far.
Correct. And when he talks about his hip bothering him, like,
he's got to be in pain, you guys. There's no way that his body doesn't hurt.
He's getting crushed.
Crushed.
So.
And he keeps getting up. I mean, I look through the world through scarlet and gray glasses, so I want him to succeed so badly. But he is going to get injured. We're going to see Trevor Siemian on purpose, or because we have to, if he continues to take hits like that.
Agreed.
I don't like that.
Shay.
The Packers have lost four straight games and have fallen to 3-5 ahead of the trade deadline after a 27-17 loss to Buffalo on Sunday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers did not cross the 100-yard mark until the fourth quarter. He finished 19 of 30 with 204 yards and two touchdowns, but most of that was in garbage time. He started the fourth with just 74 yards. Shot or no shot? Rodgers has played his final playoff game with the Packers.
That's a no shot unless he's retiring. And you're telling me he's walking away from $100 million? How many does he have left on his deal? $50 or $100 million?
Yeah, I think, but it's just next year that's guaranteed, I think.
They have too much talent on that team. They'll have to go out in the offseason and kind of rebuild their wide receiver room a bit. Yeah, I don't see it. What do they have? How many first-round picks do they have on their defense? They have six first-rounders starting on defense, and that doesn't include a first-team All-Pro, a Pro Bowl alternate, and a host of others with talent. Matt Schneidman, who covers them, writes. So they've got talent.
One of those kids might get suspended, by the way, Quay Walker, after he threw hands at a coach on the sideline.
I saw that. He got
ejected. They're frustrated. I'm saying no shot unless he does retire, which I doubt he will if they're going to continue to pay him.
Because in 2018, the Bears went 12-4. Mitchell Trubisky beat the Packers here to clinch the division 24-17. And everyone went, dawning of a new era.
Yeah.
Yeah, not so much.
Doesn't this feel different, so though?
It does, because we've never seen it. Like four straight losses? That's weird.
Yeah.
That's not like, and we all went into that game last night knowing they were going to get blown out. Like,
and they aren't even trying to throw the
covered.
Ball.
They did cover, I know.
The crazy part is, like, Aaron Rodgers entered the fourth quarter with 13 pass attempts. That's, like, Justin Fields week two.
They were, like, third and nine running the ball.
They aren't even trying to throw. Like, how many times have we seen him have lesser weapons but make them better?
What did he say post-game? I need to find that. I love to hear a good terrible. Aaron Rodgers frustrated post-game. It's a fun listen on a Monday.
I actually like Aaron. I do.
You do? He annoys me.
Certain things, the whole I'm immunized versus vaccinated.
I just don't like that he talks to me like he's better than me. I don't like it.
But I like that he was critical of his team.
No, I do too.
Because he didn't call anyone out by name. And they were talking about it on the broadcast last night. I don't know if you heard it, you or Shay or Charlie, but he told them, hang on a second, people are upset for what I said. This is professional football. You have a job to do, and if you don't do it, they're going to replace you.
Yeah.
So I had no problem with it.
After the game, he said, nobody feels sorry for us. We've got to find a way to get one win. I feel like if we can just get one, the whole momentum changes. We've seen that before. I don't think this team is capable of it. Mm-hmm. We have seen that before.
Maybe, maybe not.
I don't know.
Go ahead. One more, Shay.
All right. The Vikings improved to 6-1 yesterday after beating the Cardinals 34-26 in Minnesota. Kirk Cousins was pedestrian, 230 yards and two touchdowns, but he protected the ball well, and the Vikings defense turned Arizona over three times, including two late interceptions off Kyler Murray. The Vikings now have a three-game lead in the NFC North, which is terrible, and they look to win the division comfortably. So my question, shot or no shot? The Vikings are a legitimate threat to the Eagles in the NFC.
That's a shot. When you have Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, a serviceable to solid, I'm not a Kirk Cousins guy with his take that, you like that. No. But they have talent on that mm-hmm. team.
They do.
Let's see who's healthy at the end of the year. I think Dallas is a real factor, too, in the NFC.
Oh, I think they are too. I think they deserve to be in that conversation.
Agreed.
I would say shot. They have a shot to really contend with Philly. That was the question, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. 6-1. They've proven that they're being consistent.
No
coming
doubt.
Out of their bye. And like you said, serviceable from Kirk Cousins. That's okay. Don't turn the ball over.
No question.
Get the job done. Dalvin Cook had a good day yesterday.
They've got talent.
They just have to hope they get the matinee playoff games. They get the primetime games.
They struggle.
Cousins going to be in trouble.
Right. They better play the Super Bowl at 11 a.m. if they get there. Anyway, it's a Bears Monday. We're talking football all day with you. We want your thoughts. 312-332-3776. And I have a question for Dion, for Ooh. Shay, for Charlie about our roster. 312-332-3776. Be right back. Dr. Pepper, the most wonderful time of year, continues to roll along college football season, and that's why you drink Dr. Pepper. The residents of Fansville invite you to revel in another one-of-a-kind year of flexing your foam finger, humming your school's fight song in your sleep, and thriving on a steady diet of buffalo chicken dip and post-game day commentary, all washed down with a rich, delicious Dr. Pepper, of course. Another Saturday, always just around the corner, so make sure your tailgate doesn't turn into a failgate and pick up a case of ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
Captain Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Bears Monday. We talk football all day on the station. We want your thoughts, 312-332-3776. Courtney Cronin, who will be with me at Espresso in Bannockburn tomorrow morning, joins us now, brought to you by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Double C, good morning. So 49-29, I'm choosing to look at the positives because we don't have many guys on our roster that would start for Dallas's roster. The offense looked very, very solid. Justin should have hit Velus Jones, and Velus dropped it. It is what it is, but I think we found our quarterback. What was your takeaway?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, and to focus on where the offense is right now and the growth of Fields over the last two games, you can either focus there or you can look at the run defense just being absolutely atrocious and Dallas, just annihilating the Bears with their tight end usage. There's a lot you can dissect here. Fact is, they put up 29 points on a Cowboys defense that entered week 8, number 2 in points allowed. But that's a really good thing for this offense to build upon. Six days after doing it in New England and putting up 33 points. Throughout the early part of the season, this offense was having trouble scoring 20 points mm-hmm. at that. So to see where they're at right now, and to see the growth of Justin Fields from the mini bye and some of the things that the offense is doing now to put him in a better position. Obviously, they can do a lot more, and the hits are just, you know, that's, it's becoming pretty alarming. And I think that his teammates saying what they said following the game kind of sum up what everybody feels and how much people cringe anytime he gets hit or sacked. And we saw that several times last night or yesterday afternoon. But with this offense with Justin Fields, you know that you're moving in the right direction. It's deliberate and slow progress, but with Fields, at least you have something tangible you can take away from week to week, even in a loss like yesterday. But it, what's clear is the talent gap around him. And when you face a team like the Dallas Cowboys, they just couldn't keep pace because of that talent gap.
So how do you explain the defense looking as horrible as they did and not putting up much resistance? Is that just a talent thing, or how did you attribute that?
Partially. I think one thing that the first half showed us, especially that those first four drives where they allowed the Cowboys to score each time, is that the defensive line needs to be as big of a priority this offseason for Ryan Poles as finding Fields wide receiver and offensive line help, because it's clear up front. Not only can they not pressure quarterbacks, that's been like an issue even when Robert Quinn was here. Like, Robert Quinn wouldn't have made a difference in this game one way or the other. It's the fact that they have, like, their force game up front, force and contain, like, they couldn't do any of that. And I think a lot of that has to do just with the fact that they don't have any dominant presence on to set the edge. So to me, that revealed at least one priority this offseason, if you didn't already know it already, if you're the Bears front office, and that's finding talent for the defensive line, because everything starts up front. Of course, you're always going to remember the linebackers and the guys in your secondary running past the players that get past them, but if you can contain a little bit better up front, then you're not going to have, it's not going to be as glaring as what we saw, because it wasn't like Dak Prescott all the time was hitting the Bears defense over the top. CeeDee Lamb had a relatively quiet game, but the tight end usage, the fact that Tony Pollard, you know, once he got outside, he had no issue, you know, continuing onto the end zone. That 18-yard and that 54-yard touchdown, he went untouched on both of them, and that's really glaring. So I think it's a continual process of the fact that there's talent deficiencies all over this roster. On the offense, we know it at wide receiver for sure, and certainly up front on the offensive line. And to me, I think that the defensive line, the glaring issues that they have with that unit, that should make that priority number 1C, because I think they're all equally important for Ryan Poles to address this offseason.
So Khalil Herbert's last two games, he, I think, what, 12 for 62, 15 for 99, and I think the last week the same number of rushing yards but in three less carries as David Montgomery. This time in the same number of carries, he had 46 more yards. Do we have a controversy at running back?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily a controversy. I think that they use that. My personal opinion is that they will probably end up moving on from David Montgomery next year. I don't know if it's worth it to pay him, and especially if he's, like, I don't know. We don't know what his number is, but I don't think that they're going to prioritize paying a running back, obviously, in this day and age of the NFL, when you, and also on top of that, seeing what you have in Khalil Herbert. Now, they're never going to come out and say he's the lead back, he's our number one guy, but the way that they utilize them, the snap count, and when you see kind of what happened with the fumble yesterday and, you know, with Montgomery on 3rd and 17 and him trying to make a play, I think all those things add up. So Khalil Herbert ran the ball pretty effectively yesterday. I think, though, when you look collectively at what the Bears did with 240 rushing yards, they had three guys who had at least 50 rushing yards between Montgomery, Herbert, and Justin Fields. But that's a really efficient group mm-hmm. that you can build upon, and it might be week to week where Herbert has the quote-unquote hot hand and they ride that. That's something that Matt Eberflus said that they were going to do. But yesterday, I mean, I just felt like David Montgomery was better in short yardage situations, and you know, Herbert had that big 36-yard run that was, you know, that gave him a chunk of his 99 rushing yards. And it was good to see, because I feel like once he gets in a rhythm, he can break off far bigger runs than what we've seen David Montgomery do the last couple weeks. And that's a good sign for the Bears if they do end up wanting to stick with him beyond the season, kind of as their lead guy, and then figuring out what they have with their depth chart, maybe with the Trustin Ebner behind him.
Courtney, Eddie Jackson had the captaincy on his jersey yesterday. He had another interception. Do you see him kind of stepping up into that leadership role that is now vacant in the after the trade of Robert Quinn?
Yeah, it's interesting because when we talked to a couple players in the locker room yesterday, and obviously you knew that Robert Quinn was a big part of this team. Yes, his production wasn't terrific through seven games. And he wouldn't have had an effect by and large on what they were doing yesterday. One player on the defense doesn't stop a 49-point runaway train. But you can tell just talking with guys, when Roquan Smith said that they just weren't ready yesterday, and I asked him, I was like, is that like an emotional hangover from the Robert Quinn being, you know, the deal that he was, you know, he's out of here this week. And Ryan Poles even said he didn't want to necessarily do it because you have to tweak the fabric of the locker room, but it was too good of a business deal to pass up. Like, wasn't a direct, yeah, we're really missing Robert, we didn't come to play, but you can just tell that emotionally, I feel like this team, especially on defense, you know, they just came out flat. And it just was so obvious that the presence that they had from Robert Quinn not being there was felt. So for Eddie Jackson, that's a no-brainer choice. I think given his season this year, he's one of the older players on defense, even at 29 years old. I know it's kind of a crazy thing to say, but he's been around this team for a while. And it was the right move for Matt Eberflus to go ahead and give Robert Quinn's candidacy to Eddie Jackson, because I think Eddie can galvanize that group, especially on the back half of the defense, because that's, you know, he's been one of the staples back there for a couple years now. So it made too much sense to do that instead of anything else. But it's also going to be on Jalen Johnson. It's going to be on Roquan Smith, who, again, is already a captain. But there's a big leadership void that I think that it's going to take some time to figure out who becomes that guy going forward now that Quinn is gone.
I will just tell you, we'll ask Alex Brown at 9 o'clock to give his thoughts on it again. He and Lance Briggs went, dude, we see guys get cut all the time. We see teammates traded, sign other players. There's no way that should adversely, to the degree some are talking about, I'm not saying you, affect the locker room.
No, but I agree. I agree. I mean, like, it's... Wait, this is a business. And of course, like,
yes.
I gave them credence last week when, you know, you have Meathead saying, well, grow up, it's just a player, like, you know, this is a business, guys come in and out. That's a locker room that you don't want to mess with the fabric of. I can understand that, but four days later, you've got to be able to shelve that, to compartmentalize it and play the game. Now, it feels, I get what you're saying, Cap. It feels like a convenient excuse at this point. Well, Robert wasn't here, we got lost, we didn't know what we were doing. It's more than that, and that's where I think it really points to the talent discrepancies, especially up front. Let's look beyond the run defense. This team cannot get pressure on the quarterback. They have it all season. Mm-hmm. That's a serious issue. You cannot win games in the NFL if you cannot pressure the opposing quarterback, and that's fine. If you want to get pressure with your four down linemen, make sure you can actually do that, because they've had to get creative with blitzing. Sometimes it's worked. Sometimes it hasn't, but the personnel that you have there right now is not getting the job done. So that, to me, is what it really boils down to, because, of course, everything starts up front. If you can contain the runner with your nose tackle and your three technique, then you probably don't have those same sorts of issues. If you can set the edge, you probably don't have those same sorts of issues. That's a talent problem, and I think that that's one that was pretty glaring, probably to the front office, as much as it was to everybody else.
Courtney, I'll see you at Espresso in the morning.
See you. Thanks, guys.
All right, go eat your favorite candy today. There she is, Courtney Cronin. She'll be with me tomorrow morning at Espresso in Bannockburn when we do the show from there. 312-332-3776. Courtney, brought to you by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Every appearance on Cap and Jay Hood. Dion's in for Hoodie. Back to your calls. Alex Brown at 9. Be right back.
Motion. Prescott keeps it. He's got a blocker. He's got a touchdown. What a drive to start the day from Dak in Dallas. Bolstered their pass rush. They're 6-0. Playing Pittsburgh later today. Off the fake. Prescott. Look at end zone for Lamb. He's got it. Back-to-back outstanding Dallas drives to open the day. This is the play that got Fields a touchdown last week. He does it again today in Dallas. And the Bears are on the board. Designed run, left side, good block by Jones. Touchdown Fields on the ground.
Here we go.
Prescott on third and one will just run it up the gut and break free. Eddie Jackson, his fellow number four, takes him out inside the red zone.
Here we go.
Right back to Pollard. A really good cut. And a touchdown for Pollard. It is his stage today. They fake it to Davis. He blocks. Prescott throws. And Jake Ferguson has his second NFL touchdown. Fields protected. Throws to Harry. And he's in for the touchdown. N'Keal Harry back in the scoring book. His first Bears score. Trying to get into Brett Maher's field goal range. Only one timeout. And an interception. He was looking for CeeDee Lamb. And Eddie Jackson comes up with a pick. Oh, what a turnaround with 28 seconds remaining in the half. Herbert cuts it the other way. Straight up the gut. And into the end zone for a touchdown.
Well, I tell you, this Chicago offensive line just moved everybody to the left. And a great cut by Khalil Herbert on that play.
They'll run it with Tony Pollard. And Tony Pollard's second effort has a touchdown. His second of the day.
Great response by the Dallas offense and a great job by guard center guard in the interior of that offensive line. They just move everything.
Four-man rush. Fields. Stepping up. Sidearm sling. He's got a connection. There goes Montgomery. A lot of pressure on the Bears. Here's Pollard. And sure enough, a first down and more. Welcome to the Big Show, Tony Pollard. His third touchdown of the day.
Great job by our guy Charlie putting that together this morning with Shay. It was a blowout in Dallas.
Mm-hmm, it was.
But there are things that you can take away from it. Because Justin Fields played very good football, highest passer rating in a game of his career, highest completion percentage. The defense just was awful. And that leads us to our guy, the great Alex James Brown, who's going into the SEC Hall of Fame this year.
That's awesome.
How amazing is
amazing.
That? AB, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I can't believe you just used my entire name, and people would now, I mean, not that they could have looked it up, I guess, but I truly have three really, really simple names. Like, truly. It's Alex, James, and Brown. Like, come on.
It's pretty good, right?
I mean, give me some complex in there. At least, I don't even get Alexander. It's just Alex, you know?
You've got Karamar as your wife.
I do, and that is, she is pretty exotic, so I'll take that.
There you go. All right, so let's talk about the game yesterday. You and I worked together, and I said to you, Justin played really well. We don't have enough talent on either side of the ball. Dallas is really fast defensively. So that was my takeaway. My quarterback, I believe, is the long-term guy. What was your takeaway?
I think my takeaway is I saw Luke Getsy and that offense, offensive coaches, put together yet another week of a good plan for Justin in the offense. That's what I saw. And I saw the players go out and I saw them execute offensively that plan. So that's what I saw. I mean, yes, once we get – we can't do it now. But once we get better players, once we – you just look at the – undefeated team in NFL right now. What did they do, the Philadelphia Eagles? They went out and they got a number one receiver. When you go get a number one receiver, it puts everybody else in a normal spot. once we get that guy, and I think we will, I think Ryan Poles and those guys, I think they'll add talent to this team. But once we add talent around him and we have a sense of what we want to do, what Justin's good at, what this offense is good at, what the identity is of this offense, then I think we're going to go offensively. You scored 29 points against that defense, which you mentioned, they're fast. They're a lot of first rounders on that defense that's just running around, hitting, and they're doing a lot of things good. And you're able to carve them up at times offensively, and Justin was doing his thing. I like it. As long as we continue to put together game plans like this, he'll grow into a quarterback that we'll all be happy to have.
But how do you explain what happened with the defense yesterday, giving up 49 points? I mean, what? Like, how do you explain that sharp drop off from the way that they looked the last couple of games?
Well, I mean, the last couple games. But when you look at the last couple games, you didn't run into a number one receiver. Like a number one receiver, not a team's number one receiver, a receiver that on any team is a number one receiver. And yesterday it was CeeDee Lamb, that guy. And then you got Gallup. And you have a really, really talented quarterback in Dak Prescott, one of the top quarterbacks in the league when he's on the field. And they showed it yesterday. I thought we hadn't looked this bad offensively since we played Minnesota, I'll say. Like, just being able to stop their main guy. CeeDee Lamb, I think he set the tone early. And then they were just humming. And we can't stop the run. Another, like, just a wart of this defense showed up again, and we cannot stop the run. And I'm going to call him a backup because that's what he is on their football team, but I think he could start on a number of other teams in this league. Pollard had a heck of a day. Mm-hmm. He had a heck of a day, and you thought he would coming in because we don't stop the run and we don't tackle well. So, and if we're not doing those things, he's fast enough, which he showed on his third touchdown, that once he got to the sideline and got in front of everybody, nobody's going to catch him. So it was, I think that's how you explain it. We need better talent defensively. We need to run to the football. We're still learning the system. We're still, I mean, when you watch the second touchdown, I want to say that Pollard had, you had a couple guys or one guy out of position. He wasn't in his gap. But then you have the safety that has to come down. And Eddie Jackson, he has to come down and make that tackle, save that touchdown, and give the defense another opportunity to play, and he wasn't able to do that. These little things get you beat. You see your offense is going. All you need is one three and out. One time, go out and stop them, because at one point it looked like our offense had them on the ropes defensively. Like we had a chance to get them, and we just couldn't get over the hump. I think with better players – and another year in this system defensively, I think that we'll move closer to what we're accustomed to seeing, and that's good defense being played on that side of the ball.
All right, AB, there's been a lot of Twitter activity. We had somebody call in that said, mm-hmm. Well, they got really dejected when they lost Robert Quinn because he got traded, and it affected the room, and it affected them yesterday. And when I ask that question to you and Lance, and you relay the Olin story, I'm going to open the floor up to you. Would you please talk about the effect of getting rid of Robert Quinn for a draft pick?
This is me being just truly honest and probably a little old school. If that affects these guys that much, then I kind of want other players. I want players that it doesn't affect, because this is a part of it. This is a part of being in the NFL. It happens. It can't affect your job. It can't affect, yeah, you can have your emotions about it. You can feel however you want about it, but it can't affect you going on the football field and playing, no matter what is going on. So that was the thought coming through. When I played, it wasn't, you can't allow whatever it is. And my wife, I mean, you mentioned Carrie earlier. Carrie had she would get mad at me because I had this weird ability. No matter what was going on with us, we could be in a complete argument. And when I left her and it was time to play, like, that went away. It went away. I didn't think about it. And I'm telling you, I did not think about it. But I was told this in 10th grade. My 10th grade basketball coach would come in and he would say, hey, leave your hang your problems at the door because I don't want to hear about them. And when you leave, take them with you because I don't want them. So, like, that was his mantra. That was his saying. So, but with Olin kind of my rookie year, Olin, you start to see all these guys start leaving. You come in, it's like 30, 35 of you. And you start to see the numbers start to dwindle down. And even draft picks, like, you start to see them, like, leave. You're like, oh, my goodness, like, what is going on? And then one of your guys, like, get cut. And you come out and you're all pissed off or you're all mad. I don't know if I can say that, sorry. But you're all mad and you're upset. And you come out and you're like, and Olin kind of pulls me off to the side. He's like, what's going on? You all right? Like, yeah, I'm good, but how the heck they going to let my guy go? He's like, would you have rather been you? Oh. completely changed everything that I thought, every single thing. So it's, well, no, I wouldn't have rather it be me. All right, well, let me go to work.
Right.
That is it. Like, you better take your butt to work, because if you don't, it will be you. This is a part of the job. This is a part of the business. This is the business side of it. Just like what Roquan is experiencing now, when you do not have an agent and you don't get that buffer in between you and the team, you get to hear why the team doesn't want to pay you this. You know, they try to come up with a reason why they don't want to pay you what you want to be paid, and you're trying to say why you want to be paid what you want to be paid. That's why you need that buffer, in my opinion, but you get to hear that part. And that's the business side of it. That is the hard part. And, yes, it is emotional, but you have to be able to compartmentalize it and say, you know what, this happened, yes, but I still got to go do my job because I'm still being paid to do a job.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Do you think that some of the emotion and the emotional roller coaster of this group is because they're so young and they're learning to navigate that, like, right in front of us?
Well, I think some of them are young, but, I mean, Roquan is at the point when we all went to the Super Bowl, you know? Yeah. He's in his fourth, fifth year. Like, we all went to a Super Bowl that year, like, when I was in my fourth year. So, you know, I mean, there are guys that come in. Heck, you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, and, well, Joe Burrow is in his, what, second or third year? Ja'Marr Chase was in his first or second year? Mm-hmm. Like, these guys, they're super young, too. But they can be successful because you have to be able to be a professional. That is what being a professional is. You have to be able, regardless of what's going on, you still got to be able to do your job. When you're not feeling 100%, you still got to go out and be able to do your job. That is a professional. So the emotion part, you got to be able to set it to the side because your job is, like, it should be first. All the other stuff should be second or behind that, because if not, then all that stuff will be first and you won't have a job.
AB, have a great rest of your day. It was a lot of fun yesterday. And now we get the Dolphins rolling in, who, yes, I'll just read you this stat as we let you go. The Dolphins are going to roll in here with so much offensive talent between Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle that they have the best 8-game start in the Super Bowl era. Those two receivers together.
Oh, God.
Not good.
They're getting on my nerves. That's going to get on my nerves all week. And by the end of the week, I'm going to find a way why my Bears kick their teeth in. Watch.
I hope you're right. Have a great day and a great week. Best to Carrie. Buddy. Tell her she's the best.
Thank y'all.
Thanks,
all
right.
Appreciate it.
See you. There you go. It's our guy, Alex Brown. Bears Monday. We're talking football all day with you. 312-332-3776. Anything you took away from yesterday, even though it was a beatdown, do you actually have some positive thoughts? You're next.
Our guy, Danny.
What's up?
Hey, Danny.
How's everyone doing? How was your weekend?